Well, it gives people the license to go to their dark side and feel safe about it. We know from all kinds of psychological research that people in groups or people anonymous can go into deeper levels of depravity than they would never do in public.
Welcome to Commando On Demand Insider, your fast-paced weekly update straight from Kim's desk to your ears. I'm Mike James, and first up today, Kim talks with Rob Walsh. And I say that Rob is an expert in podcasting is a vast understatement. Rob is the vice president of podcaster relations for Libsyn, which is the second most successful podcast hosting company behind Apple. Libsyn hosts over 35,000 podcasts. And have you ever wondered if your podcast player is tracking you or if it potentially could track you? We're going to cover that today with Rob and a whole lot more in just a few moments. Plus, you know that advertisers are following you on your cell phone. We've talked about that many times before, but how do you stop advertisers from following you online? And we're honored to have Dr. Laura Schlesinger with us today. Dr. Laura is America's number one relationship talk show host. She hosts the Dr. Laura program, which is weekdays on Sirius XM Radio. And today she talks about how social media and technology is affecting our relationships and how you can avoid having today's digital lifestyle get in the way of your personal relationships. And we'll cover what is the number one habit or attitude that companies or individuals have that causes them to get hacked. And of course, we always want to hear from the tech innovators that are shaping the future. Today, Kim talks with an entrepreneur whose company has created technology that predicts weather forecasts. But listen to this, using sensors and existing devices that are already out there, like wireless signals from your smartphone. This technology is on the cutting edge of allowing people to predict weather more accurately than ever in even third world countries. It's very exciting. That brings us to this week's trivia question. Every week we give you a trivia question. We ask that you don't use Siri, Cortana, or Alexa to find the answer. What we want you to do is use the old noggin. And this week, when you hear about big tech companies, you might not always hear what happens behind the scenes. Sometimes CEOs leave a company only to come back later. And that brings us to this week's trivia question, which is, which one of the following CEOs has never left their respective company? Is it Jeff Bezos of Amazon, Michael Dell of Dell Computers, Jack Dorsey of Twitter, or Steve Jobs of Apple, who's never left their company? We'll have that for you later in this podcast. And a quick reminder, this is not the Kim Commando Show. Every week, of course, Kim gives you the very latest tech news, tips, DIYs, and takes your questions on the Kim Commando Show. And that is available on a podcast, and there's only one way to get it. That's getkim.com. You can also come behind the scenes and watch us record the show every Friday. Again, that's at getkim.com. All right, on with the show. Rob Walsh, Vice President of Podcast Relations for Libsyn and Podcast Privacy Expert, coming up in moments on Commando On Demand Insider. Well, Commando listeners know technology moves so fast, it's almost impossible to keep up with everything that's going on. And that's why there's Commando On Demand Insider. It's our way of keeping you informed and on the cutting edge of technology. And Kim always gets a bunch of questions about privacy and who's tracking you. Specifically this week, we're going to talk about podcasts and how they surveil or potentially could surveil you. Here's Kim's special conversation with Rob Walsh from Libsyn.
In 2018, there was a reported 550,000 different podcasts. And right now, 51% of the U.S. population is listening to podcasts. And you can find a whopping 700,000 active podcasts online. That's more than 29 million episodes with content and more than 100 languages. And the people who are listening to the podcasts have no clue that their privacy could be at risk. My next guest knows the ins and outs of all things podcasting. He's been at the forefront since 2004. I'm pleased to have my friend and VP of Podcast Relations for Libsyn, Rob Walsh, joining us. And welcome to the show today, Rob.
Thanks for having me on.
So tell us, in all the podcasts that are available out there in the universe, what are some of the strangest ones that people might not be familiar with?
I think the Chameleon Breeder podcast, probably one of the stranger ones. It's just for people breeding chameleons.
And there's an audience for that?
around 800 listeners per episode. Yeah, unbelievable. There is an audience. Another one, Backyard Beekeeping Podcast, right? That really big audience on that one. So your audience is learning about birds and the bees right off the bat. So if you have a niche, there are podcasts for furries. The podcast niches are covered. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't start one.
How do people make money podcasting? I mean, you know, here at the Commando Show and with our podcast, of course, we sell endorsements and we sell advertising. Is that still the traditional model?
That's one of them. I would say more people make money from building a brand, promoting a product or themselves as a product with the podcast. A lot of branded podcasts. Only about 7% of podcasts get to 5,000 downloads an episode. And that's kind of that magic number where you need to be for making money with advertising. So most podcasts never come close to that. Now, that's not to say you can't make money lower. There's other ways, Patreon and other donation models where people just ask, you know, put out the hat and say, hey, donate to my show, $1 a show, help us out. And some podcasters make more money from that method than they do from advertising. Now, smart podcasters do both, you know, advertising and donations. And those folks make the most money.
Yeah, and when we start talking about advertising, I mean, if we get into the online world in and of itself, is that, you know, targeted ads will make more money than just generic ads. But in order to get the targeted ads is that you have to have a great deal of tracking. So that this way, you know, exactly who is going to see that ad and act upon it. Does that happen in the podcasting world?
Podcasting is different than the digital world. In the digital world, or the banner world, I should say, when you go to a website and there's a little checkbox down at the bottom says, yes, I agree for you to track me and see what I do. Right? I give up my privacy to you. Podcasting, you don't actually go to people's websites. When you subscribe to a podcast, and podcasts are powered by RSS feeds, but when you subscribe to a podcast, you're subscribing in Apple Podcasts or Spotify, Google Podcasts, Overcast. And there's no option for you to opt in because you're not visiting the person's site. You're visiting this third-party aggregator app. So GDPR is a perfect example of laws that are in place that say you must opt in to be tracked. So when people want to track podcasters in Europe, it's against the law because there's no place for people to opt into that tracking. And that similar law goes into effect January 1st in California called CCPA.
So when you're talking about podcasting, is there some type of privacy policy that people are agreeing to?
They're not. The listeners don't have an option. Now, that doesn't mean people aren't tracking people. Unfortunately, there are companies that have come into this space in the last couple of years that have started to track listeners unbeknownst to the listeners. And that's an issue. It's one thing for you to track someone that says, yes, you can track me. That's okay, right? People have agreed to it. But when you track somebody that hasn't agreed to it, doesn't know they're being tracked, most people, 80% of the population, when asked about this, felt that was ethically wrong. You know, so that's the listener saying, 80% saying that's just ethically wrong to track someone without letting them opt into that. So again, that doesn't mean it's not happening because the laws aren't in place. So if you live in Indiana right now, you can be tracked by listening to a podcast. If you live in Louisiana, you could be tracked. But in Italy, you won't be tracked. And January 1st, if you're in LA, supposedly you won't be tracked. A real world example of why that might be an issue is when people start tracking, that means this information goes into databases. And what happens to databases? Well, if they're valuable, one of two things we know happens. They're sold or they're hacked. Oftentimes both. So if you start getting tracked and you didn't opt in, and let's say you listen to a cannabis podcast, now you're in this database that says you're a cannabis user because you listen to a cannabis podcast. Now you apply for a job a couple of years from now. Someone runs some AI in HR to see if they should hire you, and it flagged that you're a cannabis user, and nope, you're not going to get the job. Not because you have ever used cannabis, but because one day you listened to a cannabis podcast. And you can take this one level even worse. Let's say you listen to an LGBTQ podcast and you go to Dubai or some country where Sharia law is in place. And now you're in that database and you get tracked. And just Google lesbian couple being arrested in Dubai or in the Middle East, and you'll find some horror stories out there. That's where privacy becomes an issue when people don't have the option to opt in to being tracked.
So is there anything that anybody can do right now, or is this just the way that it's operating right now?
It's up to the podcasters and the podcast companies to say, no, we're not going to allow people to be tracked. I work for Libsyn, and we say that, no, everybody's privacy is important, whether you're in Indiana or Italy. So we won't work with any companies that track listeners unless they have an option to opt in, which we know in podcasting they don't. So basically we're saying there's no tracking of user IP address information, sharing of user IP address information at all for anybody that works with Libsyn, period. And you know, that's our policy. We hope other podcast companies will take the same route. We know others definitely are not, and they are tracking. But if you listen to a podcast that's hosted on Libsyn, like your show, your listeners are not being tracked. They're not being added to a database. And that's our pledge. And we're going to, that's, you know, we've been in this space before anyone. We're going to continue down that road. And we hope other companies will join us and say, yeah, we're not going to allow any third parties to track and share IP address, personal information of listeners, period.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, Rob, it's been an absolute pleasure working with you and Libsyn over the years. I mean, you guys, you really have your act together. And thanks so much for sharing your wealth of podcast knowledge with us today. And speaking of podcasts, as Rob mentioned, I have the perfect one you might want to check out. It's called Commando On Demand. You don't want to miss it. You can get it on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, on Alexa, Spotify, or wherever you do get your podcasts. Just search for my name, Kim Commando with a K, of course.
Hey, as you're listening to this Commando On Demand Insider Edition podcast, some questions may come up about something that Kim or Rob or somebody else says, or you might have just a general question about something digital. For that, we will certainly answer your questions on the air. And to set up a question or a call, just go to commando.com, and in the upper right-hand corner, click on Be a Caller. We'll get a couple of questions from you, and we'll have a producer get in touch with you to set up a time when you can talk to Kim. And there's no doubt about it, technology is affecting every aspect of our lives, and even in some cases, how we relate to each other in our personal relationships. Well, up next, we have relationship expert and host of America's number one relationship talk program on SiriusXM, Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Just ahead, stay right there.
It began as an urban legend. Somehow, someone or something was spying on you, telling advertisers about your online activities. Suddenly, you're flooded with ads. So here are the top three ways to fight the spying. First, when you're shopping online, switch your browser to the incognito mode. It's a more private mode that removes most cookies collected when you load a website. It won't stop all advertisers, but it helps. Next, double-check your security and privacy settings in Facebook or Google. They're the ones doing most of the spying. But the best option is to use a VPN. That's a virtual private network. VPNs encrypt your data, hide your IP address, and what you do online. Now, of course, nothing guarantees absolute privacy, but these are the best three most affordable moves you can make now.
Worried about your privacy and your Amazon Echo? In Kim's new ebook, How to Use Your Amazon Echo Tips and Tricks, you'll learn how the pros use Alexa and still maintain privacy. Get advice you can trust. Search Kim Commando on your Kindle to get your copy now.
And without further ado, it's Kim's conversation with our special guest, Dr. Laura Schlesinger.
She's been on radio for over 40 years, dispensing all kinds of advice, and she's got a brand new book out, Love and Life. And I will tell you that she's also a very dear friend of mine, and we've had some very interesting conversations over the years, especially about the internet. Dr. Laura, thanks for being on the show.
Well, thank you, and for all the times you came on my show to help me with kids and internet issues.
So let me ask you a question. I have a few questions for you. And these questions go beyond when we go for our walks. But what do you think is the biggest difference you see in relationships since the internet has totally taken over our lives?
Well, I think people have made everything seem simplified. They go on the net to find another human being with whom they're going to share some great covenant with, as opposed to sort of the old-fashioned way. Being introduced by people who know you and the other person and can make a recommendation and making it safer and taking the fantasy out of it and putting reality back into it. I think it's really been not a very good thing. And at least a third, one, you probably know this better than I do, but what I read is at least a third of the people who put up their faces on these websites are phony.
Yeah.
Or predators.
Yeah, I don't know if I told you, but I was started getting all these emails from people saying, you know, I thought you were married. You know, what happened? Did you get divorced from Barry? And so apparently somebody on like Bumble or some site like that, they used my picture and my personal information in North Carolina to say, oh, and they were also a good Christian, by the way, and to say that that they were me and I was looking for love online. I'm like, I think you need to take that down because that's definitely not me.
Well, I've spent time with you and Barry and you already have that.
Yes, thank you. And so, but speaking of, we have quite a few folks who listen to the show who are dating online. When you're meeting somebody online, what are a few questions that people can ask at the get-go to kind of figure out if they're on the up and up?
What's your full name and address and phone number? And then you pay the fee for the other online sources where you can do a complete background search. You know, ask if a person is willing to fib or exaggerate in writing on a site, you ask them a question, there's no guarantee they're going to tell you anything honest anyway. So I would pay for one of those online companies that do complete searches, everything from all the past marriages, every place they've lived, the financials, if they've been in prison, if they've been in a courtroom. That's what I would do, a complete background check, because, you know, if you were being introduced by somebody who knew both of you, they would have not selected a person who had a bad background. So it's, I just don't think it's a smart way to go about things.
Yeah. And you know what? And so people also, they get online and they become somebody else, don't they? I mean, all of a sudden it's like they're big and strong and fierce. It's like crazy.
Well, it gives people the license to go to their dark side and feel safe about it, even if in reality they would not do that kind of behavior. And we know from all kinds of psychological research studies that people in groups or people anonymous can go into deeper levels of depravity than they would never do in public.
Yeah, that's true. You mentioned once, I forget where we were, that you thought that maybe we'd be better off without the internet.
I think so. I believe so. I absolutely, if I had magic, I would make it disappear. Because a virtual world is not where we need to live. We need to live in reality. And somehow, you know, without all that computers, think about it. We got a man on the moon.
Yeah.
People doing math on paper.
Which, you know, people can't even figure out if you go to the convenience store, if you give them $2 right. And it's $1.50. It's like, what was that? I'm supposed to give you back? Yeah, 50 cents. Thank you.
Okay. Right. So when people, you know, try to challenge me on this, we put a man on the moon. We just figured it out. And I think that we're doing less of figuring things out. I mean, how many of our kids can do basic math?
Yeah. Or even penmanship's going away because we don't need that anymore, right?
No. We don't need anything, and all our relationships are false. You call friends somebody who clicked onto your space. That's not a friend. Friend is somebody who would lay their life down for you. You know, and we have lost the definition of things that are meaningful. So all of this social media stuff, I think, has been a massive disaster. Massive disaster.
Yeah.
I would like everybody to stop twittering. I mean, when I say everybody, I mean everybody.
Well, and it's also, I mean, I see this with my son and his friends. I mean, you know, they put a picture up and they want to see how many people are going to like it. You know, I'm like, what's the difference? What does it matter?
Because their value of their lives comes from peer approval for things that are superficial. This is just a disaster.
So is this like your 80th New York Times bestseller book that you have now, or what number is this kind of going to be, do you think?
It's not going to be a bestseller on the New York Times list. I can almost guarantee you that, because it came out in an era where everybody is angry and hateful and it's all about impeachment. So, you know, to distract people back to the things that really matter, because that stuff is just nuts, to the stuff that really matters, but before that, I had 13 New York Times bestsellers, to answer your question.
Wow.
This would not be 14. If I had written a book about hating somebody, it would be number one.
So tell us about Love and Life.
Well, all the other books had sort of a central theme. This one is a compilation of some of the essays that I wrote for Newsmax magazine over the last 15 years. and selecting ones, putting them in groups, and then me doing all the interstitials, you know, all the connection stuff. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to put out a book that would just sort of hit with a lot of topics so people could, even if they thought they weren't looking for something, they would come across it and learn something that they could use in their lives.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm looking at some of the topics. I mean, you know, grandparents, they do have a big role, right? You know, people are afraid say it's wrong. And
another place to be loved.
You know, and people, you know, when the marriage fails, I like this one. We grew apart.
There is no growing apart. There's no such animal. It means you stopped making an effort. People do not grow apart. They let go. And the first and foremost thing I believe that people need to do to keep a marriage together is touch. Touch. Caress each other's face as you walk by. Hold hands as you walk along. When you're in bed, you know, snuggle your feet under each other. Touch. Constant touch. The second thing is waking up in the morning and before you go to pee, turn around and look at the at your spouse and say to yourself, what can I do today to make them happy they're alive and married to me? If everybody got up who was married and did that every morning and did the just incidental touching all day, there'd be no divorces, assuming they chose wisely.
And so this does not include texting?
No. No, not to the exclusion of the other things. Texting is cute. I've told people on the air, you want your husband to come home on time? Text him what you're going to be wearing or not. At 6:30, he'll be there. So these sorts of things, to use them in these positive ways, yes. But just texting is a way of perpetual communication. It's not deep enough. This is just for cute stuff. So keep the texting for cute stuff.
And so can they get the book on your website, Amazon? How can they find it?
Everywhere. You know, they can come to my house. I have extra copies. Amazon.com books, easiest thing to do. They can also go onto drlaura.com and click on the book, and we sell them there too.
And so when are you going to be doing your next personal appearance with folks?
It'll be in May. My one woman show will be in May, and it will be in San Diego.
Awesome. I want to go. I even told you I'll be like, you know, the water girl.
I'm schlepping you with me, not to worry.
Okay, good. All right. Well, Dr. Laura, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, sweetie. Take care. I mean, Kim. See, we get too personal.
That's fine.
Our trivia question is coming up next on Commando on Demand. You remember? What major tech company CEO has never left his company? Also, in just a moment, we're going to learn about weather, specifically forecasting weather. And we've got a guy who started a company to forecast weather in mostly third world countries. And how he's going to do it is by using existing wireless signals and cellular networks. It's just ahead on Commando on Demand Insider.
I'm convinced that most computer users actually believe that they're somehow immune from a damaged ransomware attack that will lock down all their files. Deep down, they're convinced it won't happen to me. Here's why they're wrong. The city of New Orleans has been hit with a ransomware attack so severe that the city has been in a state of emergency for the past week. The first 6 months of this year, 70 state and local governments were hit. It's costing taxpayers billions. And even if you pay the ransom, you'll never get all your data back. Optimism bias is the psychological name for this. It's why warning labels don't work. And it's why most people don't have decent security software running on their computers, even though basic software is free. The lesson is clear. Things don't always work out. Just ask anyone in New Orleans.
Want tech DIY videos from people you trust? Go on over to the Kim Commando YouTube channel, and you'll see why Kim's America's top digital expert. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a video. Just go to youtube.com/Kim Commando Show.
It's Commando on Demand, where we talk to some of the most influential people in technology, the innovators that shape the future, and trailblazers who challenge and inspire us to do great things. Our next guest has created technology that predicts weather for third world countries using sensors and existing devices like wireless signals from smartphones. This technology is fascinating. And now here's Kim with a special conversation with the inventor and creator of Climacell.
Think about all the times you've relied on a weather forecast. Maybe you were planning a family outing, a reunion, or going on vacation. Accurate weather predictions also alert us to natural disasters. Farmers rely on weather information to help them plan their crops. Even the NFL relies on weather predictions for game day. Now, the tech behind it requires a lot of data that traditionally comes from weather observers like satellites and weather balloons. But the biggest problem in predicting the weather is that there aren't enough of these weather observers in the world, which can lead to inaccurate forecasts, resulting in serious horror stories. And that's where my next guest comes in. He's the co-founder and chief strategy officer of Climacell. Now, this is a company that uses 600 million devices to forecast areas as small as a city block. And joining me on the Kim Komando show is Ray Gopher. And thanks for joining us today, Ray. So let me ask you my first question. How accurate are the weather forecasts that we see on television each night?
Well, you know, it really depends. I'd say that to a large extent, they're pretty accurate, but they don't really address, you know, a very specific need of anybody. If you're a farmer or a individual just trying to figure out what to do tomorrow, they're kind of very generic.
And so what exactly does Climacell do?
So we really try to solve that problem by basically, number one, as you mentioned before, introducing new sensing points, new observations into the system. We do that by pretty cool techniques. We extract all sorts of information from wireless networks, from connected vehicles, from mobile devices, drones, cameras, everything that's kind of out there and is somehow sensitive to the weather or sees the weather. But we don't just stop there. We actually run our own forecasting models using that data. And really where we spend a lot of our energy is on making sure that this data and these forecasts are usable for people and they help you take decisions.
And so you talk about all these devices, the drones, the wireless networks, and of course we have smartphones and everything else out there. So are you getting the data from these individual points and then putting them into some type of algorithm and then putting the data out there and then making predictions thereafter?
Yeah, exactly. So part one is collecting all this data through, you know, different types of partnerships for our app and others. But then really the brains is how do you use this information in a way that helps you predict better? And then more so, how do you use these better predictions to actually make sure people take better decisions? That surprisingly is the hardest part of everything.
And so I guess you'd say, is this like, would you call this like hyper local forecasting? Kind of like, I know, for example, that app Dark Sky does that.
Yeah, many people say, you know, hyperlocal or whatever. It's really what you get in most cases is just you query the same forecast, just you query it more times, but you don't really get different answers. It's the same answers in more time. So it's not really hyperlocal. When you go in our approach, which is adding more observations and then running your own forecasting model at a very high resolution, then you are actually getting personalized forecast, which is it's kind of a next step in terms of what the accuracy is.
And so give me an example of where Climacell has made a difference between, you know, a regular forecast that we just might see on the internet versus something that goes deep down into several levels.
Yeah. So, you know, a few of our customers are the largest airlines in the United States, JetBlue and others. And, you know, for example, when they use us, they have the most advanced weather tools out there. You know, they use their connected directly to the National Weather Service, the FAA and all these sorts. But when they see our forecast and when they use it through our tools, they can actually make much better decisions, A, because the forecast is more accurate, but also B, because we tell them what it actually means for them in a way that is understandable and usable. So, for example, what is going to be the de-icing time? How many airplanes are going to be able to take off in the coming hour? Where do you have to send these airplanes that are not going to be able to land in a certain airport due to the weather?
And, you know, hopefully, you know, I won't be on that flight when that gets canceled, right?
Okay. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, a lot of flights surprisingly get canceled for no good reason because the forecast, you know, the generic forecast that you get from the government is pretty, you know, it says worst case. But then if you have a much more detailed information of what's going to happen, then you're able to take better decisions and optimize. And maybe you save, you know, 10 flights that were supposed to get canceled.
Okay, so you talk about Climacell being used by the major airlines. What about, you know, those of us that are not running major corporations? We just want to know, you know, is it going to be hot or is it going to rain in 10 minutes from now?
Right. So for you guys and for everyone, we also, there is an app. You can download it on the App Store. It's called ClimateSail, and you'll see basically our forecast there. We try to make it, you know, friendly and usable and kind of help you again in the same way take decisions, not just kind of here's the weather, but also what does it mean for me? So there's really cool alerting tools there and stuff like that that tell you for your favorite location, what's going to be the weather and how is it going to impact your daily routine.
So now what about countries and places where there aren't a lot of devices where you could tap into getting these algorithms and these data points? What do you do in those situations?
Yeah, so that is actually a key area for ClimateSail, a key focus, because surprisingly, you know, everywhere in the world, even in the most remote regions and the most underdeveloped economies, you still have a lot of or large amounts of smartphones and other types of devices. You don't have in these places is the actual, you know, old generation meteorological infrastructure. And so in these places, we're actually able to bridge that gap and provide very accurate forecasts that would otherwise not be available. If you look at, you know, other apps that just repackage governmental data, they don't have access to that type of information, and they can't really provide accurate services in these countries and regions.
Well, you know what, Ray, thanks for joining us. We're going to post a link over to your app over at commando.com in case you want to check it out. I mean, it's really an innovative way that ClimateSail is collecting and using weather data. It's amazing. Hey, and keep your digital know-how going. It's really easy. Just visit the website, commando.com. We're going to find the latest in security alerts, data breaches, digital life hacks, and so much more. Once again, that address is commando.com.
All right, it's time for our Commando On Demand Insider Trivia Answer. When it comes to technology, you might not always hear what happens behind the scenes. Some CEOs actually leave their companies only to come back later. And this week's trivia question is, which one of the following CEOs has never left their respective company? Is it Jeff Bezos, Michael Dell, Jack Dorsey of Twitter, or Steve Jobs of Apple? Well, the answer is Jeff Bezos. I bet you got that. Everyone else I mentioned had left their company for a little while. Most notably, of course, Steve Jobs, who came back after a 12-year absence to save Apple from the brink of bankruptcy. Jeff Bezos founded Amazon as an online bookstore in 1996. He's, of course, been the CEO ever since. And now Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates, who live, by the way, in the same neighborhood, often alternate with the title of the richest person in the world, even though Bezos' annual salary is only about $82,000 a year. All right, thanks for listening. By the way, don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already. You'll get this podcast downloaded to your device every single week automatically. And we thank you for that. Here now, it's Kim with some final thoughts.
Full disclosure, I do not trust Mark Zuckerberg and the Facebook gang. And you won't either when you hear of Zuckerberg's next great big plan. Having solved none of Facebook's many problems with privacy, child porn, terrorists, scammers, and rapists running wild on the platform, the man from Menlo Park is considering a new idea. He wants all of us to embrace something that he's calling brain-computer interfacing. Perhaps glasses that shine light into your eyes and measure blood flow in certain areas of your brain. Now, of course, it's collecting data and transferring all of it to a Facebook computer. Zuckerberg says a person can perform many sci-fi sounding tasks, clicking a button, scrolling through a menu, typing a text, shopping online, all without using their hands. Your brain will do it all. And he's right. It does sound sci-fi. But on the other hand, knowing Facebook's past behavior, anyone who connects his or her mind to Facebook's computers really should have his or her head examined first. All right, keep your digital know-how going. Find your local radio station that broadcasts my show, along with more DIY how-tos and tips, videos. You can get free news alerts delivered from me right to your email address, along with the Commando community. Or you can blog and ask your tech questions on our website. That's commando.com.
And thanks for listening.